Author Melanie Svoboda tells a story of something that happened to her many years ago. So she was driving home alone from a meeting downtown, and it was a sweltering summer day. Well, her car didn't have any air conditioning, and so in no time at all, she was very hot and very sweaty. And she found herself thinking, if I had someone in the car, I would stop and treat them to an ice cream cone. It was just a passing thought. So she kept on driving and sweating. And then she got home, and later on, she was thinking back over her day, and that thought came back to her. If I had someone in the car, and suddenly she realized she did have someone in the car. She had herself. Why on earth did she not stop and treat herself to an ice cream cone? After all, she said, I'm a person too. And there, in a nutshell, is the challenge behind taking care of ourselves, remembering that we are people too. And we have legitimate wants and needs that deserve to be met. And as we're reminded from today's daily word, made in the image and likeness of God, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so we have spiritual needs as well as human needs. So let's consider our spiritual needs through a slightly different story. So suppose for a moment that a holy person comes to visit you in your home. Well, you want to make absolutely sure that that person has everything they need for their spiritual practice. So you might provide a quiet, comfortable place for them to do their prayer and meditation, and you would want to make sure that they had time for that. You would make sure that they had ample time for rest and for reading their holy books. You would be mindful that the house should be quiet, so you would turn off the television set, probably put down your cell phone and any other electronic devices so that you could be fully present and fully attuned to that holy person. Well, guess what? You do have a holy person in your home, maybe more than one, but at least one, because it's you. It's your true nature. It's the Christ in you. It's your inner God wanting to express more fully. And you are every bit as deserving of those amenities, the kindnesses of time to meditate, a place to meditate, a place to be prayerful, ample sleep, all of those things. You're every bit as entitled as any guru. And in fact, we could read that word guru as G, you are you. A reminder that there is a guru within you. I got that one from Richard. So true self-care includes caring for our bodies, our minds, our health, our hearts, and our spirits. Well, we know this, don't we? But we don't always act like we know it. Most of us, when we hear about self-care or somebody encourages us to take care of ourselves, I'm guilty of this as well, we'll say, I'll get around to that eventually. But the problem is, eventually may not be soon enough. In our busy lives, we may never even get around to eventually. And so we realize that this self-care is something that demands and deserves our attention. Well, I think there are two reasons why we fail, or we fall short, I should say. What in the world? Oh, okay. In caring for ourselves. And the first one is that we don't make it a priority. We don't make ourselves a priority. Everybody else comes first. Can anybody relate to this? Well, yeah, because we love to give, we love to love. We tend to put ourselves last. You know, that cliched, now cliched line from flight attendants is as true for life as it is for an airline flight. Put your own oxygen mask on before you help the person next to you. That truly we cannot take care of others until we take care of ourselves. We know this, but we pretend that we don't know. And the second reason I believe that we don't take better care of ourselves is we make it so much harder than it has to be. We turn it into a big deal. So, for example, if we want to take care of our bodies, oh, now we're going to run every day a couple of miles. Now we're going to join the gym. Now we're going to go to every Zumba class that's available. We set these very high expectations and unrealistic goals, and then when we can't meet them, we think, forget about it. But actually, if we want to take care of our bodies, all we need to do is move. Just move. Move more. It could be as simple as going for a walk around the block, parking a little farther from the church or the store so that you have a bit of a walk to come in. It can mean stretching in the morning, just simple stretching. You don't have to go to a yoga class, you know, get the whole outfit and the whole thing. Just stretch when you get up in the morning before you go to bed. A few weeks ago in our wellness group, we did some Tai Chi to a DVD in classroom four back there, and I'd never done Tai Chi. Has anybody done Tai Chi before? I mean, I loved it. I totally, totally loved it. And what I realized, you know, when you see people doing Tai Chi, it looks like, oh, that doesn't look very hard. When you do it, it's a little harder than it looks. And it's a little more strenuous. So we were doing parting the mane of the wild horse. And and we were doing the passing of the clouds. You guys ought to try this sometime. It's awesome. You feel this beautiful energy. I could just do this for, okay. It's wonderful. And it's very, very simple. And it feels so, so good. So we can just give ourselves the gift of movement. Well, the same way that we can make caring for our bodies easier, we can make it easier to care for our minds. And of course, the best way to care for our minds is to keep them active. And I'm not saying, you know, buzzing all the time. I just mean use our minds. Einstein said, never lose a holy curiosity. And it's as simple as that. And if you're curious, you have definitely come to the right place. Because in Unity, we say that you don't come here to get your questions answered. You come here to get your answers questioned. We are all about seeking, exploring, being open to new ideas, new possibilities, new ways of being. And all of this feeds your mind, your mental vitality. But we can also learn to take care of our hearts. And by that I mean do our emotional healing. That's a very important part of our spiritual path. And it doesn't necessarily require tons of money to go see a psychotherapist, although I'm a great believer in counseling. You're doing your deeper work. But you can work on your emotional healing by being with people who love you, by having honest, meaningful conversations, by being brave enough to go take another look at your past and realize what really wasn't your fault. Make friends with your inner child and come to know who you truly are. All of that is emotional healing. It's one way that we take care of ourselves. Recently, I saw a movie. It was called When I Was Young, I Thought I Would Be Happy. It is a really powerful and very challenging film to watch. It's about a group of now teenagers who were orphaned in 1994 by the genocide of a million people in Rwanda. And these children went through the most horrific experience, saw the most traumatic things right in front of their eyes, lost their friends, lost their family, plummeting into a despair that they were really pretty much immobilized by. Well, the film is about how they learned to regain their lives, regain their hope. Certainly life would never be the same for them, but they can go on and have some semblance of a productive and happy life. And they did it through a technique called Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT. And I know some of you know this. It's tapping. So you probably heard about it. Maybe you didn't know what it was. It's, you know, we do this and this and here, here, and my very favorite, here. Feels really, try it. Feels really good. Just boom, boom, boom. activating the chi in you, getting that life force going inside of you. And we're very fortunate that on May 14th, we will actually have a workshop on EFT led by our own Lisa Smith right here. You can sign up on our hall wall. So really, it can be very simple. Not nearly as hard as we make these things around emotional healing. Well, then we move on to our spiritual healing. We move on to our spiritual self-care and really honoring the divine in us and connecting with that something greater, both outside and within us. And typically the ways we do this are through prayer and meditation. Not that there aren't many other ways, as we've spoken about before, but typically through prayer and meditation. And even those we make more difficult than they have to be. So we say, I don't think I'm praying right. I'm worried I'm not doing this right. Or if it's meditation, I'm really not a very good meditator. And people usually mean that they cannot sit in the silence for 20 minutes without having a thought. If you ever meet somebody that can sit in the silence for 20 minutes without having a thought, I'd really like to meet them, because that is not how it works. But we make it more difficult than it has to be. You know, here's the truth. Nobody is watching you. Nobody is judging you on how you pray or meditate. Nobody is scoring you. There's no big test later. If what you're doing in your prayer and your quiet time with Spirit brings you a sense of peace, relaxation, if it helps you feel closer to all of life, if it gives you hope or faith or guidance, it's perfect. It's exactly what you need, and it's good enough. So many years ago, when I became a prayer chaplain at my home church, Unity of Portland in Oregon, I was a little intimidated by becoming a prayer chaplain, because I didn't really pray very much. And I thought, oh, I'm sure all these people pray all the time, and I was not one of those people who would spend 20 minutes every morning in prayer. And not only that, I wasn't entirely sure how to do it. Well, thankfully, they gave us a booklet as we were going into our chaplain training, and it's a little book called Come Apart for a While. And it talks about the various ways Jesus prayed. And there was a wonderful exercise in there. And the exercise was called, You Pray More Often Than You Think. And it's filled with, oh, I don't know, it must be like 30 or so different statements that express ways in which we're in a prayer consciousness, that we're holding ourselves and others in prayer, we're connecting with the divine that we probably don't even think of as prayer. So here are some examples. The first one is setting goals. I know that's small. Setting goals and holding on to our visions and dreams. Is that not a prayer? Is that not an affirmation of what we most truly want? When we ask for forgiveness, it's a prayer, heartfelt. Feeling and expressing gratitude, as we were doing in our song this morning. Truly believing that the universe is responsive and friendly. And that is a huge prayer. That is a huge affirmation. That alone can change everything in your world. Singing inspiring songs, as we have the joy of doing here. Repeating encouraging affirmations, such as, this too shall pass. I can do all things through the Christ in me that strengthens me. Finding good things come out of difficult times. It seems like every week I hear about someone saying that what was once the worst thing that happened to them has turned into the best thing that ever happened to them. Speaking words of love and caring to others, visualizing others as healed, happy, and peaceful. This is a good one. Finding spiritual meaning in coincidences. We love to do that in Unity. It's a prayer. It's an affirmation of something greater than ourselves. Feeling at one with everything around you. Sensing the presence of Spirit or God. Practicing detachment, which simply means quietly and compassionately bearing witness without reacting. We observe what is going on, but we don't have a knee-jerk reaction to it. Well, I don't know about you, but when I went through that list, I felt pretty darn good. I thought, well, I pray a lot more than I realized. Same for you? And we realize that prayer is not a regimen as much as it is a consciousness. It's a way of relating to ourselves, to each other, and to all of life. Well, nevertheless, we may get interested in more formal prayer, and if we're interested in that, Paul Smith says there are two types. The first one is connecting prayer. Connecting prayer is a little more commonly what we hear about. Connecting prayer is when you actually speak to, and even more importantly, listen to, Spirit. It's conversational. I'm thinking of Cindy Root, who has coffee with God every morning and has a conversation. Very important in that to remember to listen and to not be shy about asking for what you want. You can ask God for guidance. You can ask, show me the way. Help me be a better person. Help me work through this. It's not putting the power outside of you. You're talking to what's within you. And that simple asking may quicken your own divine abilities so that you're able to go forth and overcome any challenge. So that's the kind of connecting prayer. Well, the second kind of prayer is what we call being prayer. Being prayer, because it's simply around being present. It is being in the stillness that is behind all thoughts, all images, all activity, that you truly sink down into that place of what we call the silence. And that Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. This is what takes us. That's a perfect expression of what this is. We become still and we know that we are God, that God is with us, that all is well. And we can cultivate this as we go into greater and greater relaxation. This is what we do in centering prayer. That's offered here now every Monday night. Just really kind of a letting go, a surrendering. And the ego goes quiet. Now, it may not go quiet consistently. It may pop up every once in a while. But you just notice it and go right back. Go right back to being the expansiveness and letting it all go. So this is more commonly called meditation. That's what we refer to it as, this being prayer. Meditation is another case where we make it more challenging than it has to be. You don't have to sit for 20 or 30 minutes in complete silence or your monkey mind goes wild. You don't have to do that. If you want to put on music, put on music. If you want to create a more, if you want to do a guided meditation, do a guided meditation. If you want, Richard sometimes puts on this CD we have of a drone. It's just a single note. You know, like when you hear a bagpipe, the single note behind the drone. And just listening to that helps you feel more at peace, helps you let go. Paul Smith talks about listening to brain entrainment music to kind of get himself in the vibe that he wants to be in. And I have a great app. I absolutely love this app. And I know, you know, gizmos shouldn't be necessary, but I just got to tell you about this. It's called the Insight Timer. And it's the top-rated free app on meditation that's available. The Insight Timer has whatever you could possibly want for your meditation if you want some assistance. It has, you know, singing bowls and all different things. You can pick what tone you want to start your meditation, end your meditation. Do you want one gong? Do you want three? Do you want it in the middle? How long do you want it? 1 minute, 5 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. And it'll just keep you on track in that way. But it also has musical meditations. You can listen to music in the background. And it has guided meditations for just about everything you can think of. That's a great thing to explore. So there's one more way. There's one more way that we can care for ourselves spiritually. And it's by being together. It's by being together in spiritual community as we are right now. You know, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, there I am also. And we feel that presence when we come together. Moreover, we aren't meant to make this spiritual journey alone. We're meant to have companionship and guides and friends. You know, I've loved Unity Renaissance from the first time I walked through those doors. And lately, I've begun to even more deeply appreciate the powerful transformational work that goes on here and in you. You know, as a minister, I have the great honor and joy of hearing about the breakthroughs that you have, maybe the breakdown followed by the breakthrough. I get to see how the light shines through you, appreciating how you so earnestly do your work You know, there are people in our congregation who've overcome addiction. There are people who have healed from divorce, the loss of loved ones, sometimes several loved ones right in a row. People who've gotten their groove back after being depressed or feeling so alone. People who've regained their will to live. We have people who've beaten the odds and are staying healthy and strong, even with a diagnosis of a terminal illness. You have folks here who've been down to the bottom in their financial well-being and risen right up again, trading that lack mentality for a prosperity consciousness. All because you and they are willing to do the hard work, really take these principles seriously, these teachings, and apply them in our lives, and then take advantage of the classes and the gatherings and the events and the learning and the joy and the spiritual discovery groups and all the different ways that we share our journey together. I must tell you that you are absolutely stunning, that you inspire me every week. Incredible, incredible community. So as Paul Smith says, we are mystics in community. We are the assembly of the awakening. We are awakening together. That is one of the really precious ways that we take care of ourselves. Smith says, to honor Jesus as the Christ is the first step in the Jesus path. The second step is to take Jesus seriously by honoring the true self within us as also the Christ. Honor yourselves. Love yourselves. Treat yourselves like that holy person who deserves all good things. As you go about caring for your body, your mind, your heart, your spirit, know that you are so loved. You are so worthy. You are so deserving. So let God be God in you. Let's turn now to our meditation. Let's close our eyes, take a deep breath in. I'd like to begin our meditation with a little poem by Hafiz, great mystic poet. Let's just allow ourselves to get centered, breathe in deeply, and then release and let go. Let go of everything, let go of any worries, any concerns. And take into your heart the beautiful words of this poem. I've learned so much from God that I can no longer call myself a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Jew. The truth has shared so much of itself with me that I can no longer call myself a man, a woman, an angel, or even pure soul. Love has befriended Hafiz so completely it has turned to ash and freed me of every concept and image my mind has ever known. We allow ourselves to breathe into the truth of our oneness, letting go of all else. Release, feel your body relax, feel a great wave of peace move from the top of your head down through the tips of your toes. A great peace and a great knowing that all is well. I invite you to connect with the divine by taking these words into your own heart. I have a body, but I am not my body. I have a mind, but I am not my mind. I have feelings, but I am not my feelings. I have concerns, but I am not my concerns. I am one with the One. The truth of my being is the infinite vastness of spirit, the stillness behind all else, this holy place of love and oneness. I invite you now to open your heart to whatever spirit has to share with you, moving through your being, as you open and listen in the silence. In the name of that in which we live and move and have our being, in the state of great gratitude for the blessings of the divine in us and as us and in all others around us. We're so grateful for this life journey, for this community, for every day's new insights, even for the hard times that push us onward. It is all unfolding as it should, and for this, we are grateful. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.